From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Touchdown, Reggie Ragland! And welcome back, Sack Nation.
And welcome back to a victory episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark, and he is Ryan Tracy. He was at the game today, so you can blame him.
Sure. Okay. If that's where we're going. Dang. It is, it's quarter after midnight in Kansas City, and just got home after the post-game festivities. If you missed the live broadcast on RGR, go check that out. Very, very interesting group. This, for the first time ever, and I've been going to this contest, this Chiefs versus Broncos in Denver for the last 14 years, the loudest I ever heard Chiefs Kingdom ever.
Well, and you're sitting there in Mile High, and obviously the crowd traveled well. And it was interesting. I know that you were at the game, so you didn't see or hear a lot of the broadcasting that was just brutal throughout the game with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Ugh.
Yeah, I think while I was dim on a couple of facts, like I didn't realize the sack total, I think I'm actually counting myself very lucky I didn't have to listen to Joe Buck.
You know, honestly, Joe Buck was pretty good most of the game until he started calling Fenton Felton, and he did that like three different times. And I thought Fenton looked fantastic tonight. Obviously, you got to go back and rewatch and watch him specifically, but I thought he looked really good, and I think it's very promising moving forward.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Sitting there live, it looked like he got loose. The guys got loose from him a little bit, but he certainly made plays.
Well, yeah, when they threw at him, they weren't getting there. So I thought he made plays. And, you know, live, you're actually, and I did use a hashtag on this. I said locked on Chiefs in the sky, eye in the sky, because you were watching from the sky. So you had a little bit of a different view than everybody else. So it's a little unfair for you to say that because I have no idea. I mean, I just saw the plays that he makes. I really didn't see him get beat. But, you know, he might have been letting people loose and, you know, just wasn't found. Of course, I don't think Joe Flacco could have found the broadside of a barn tonight, but that's another story.
It is. And I just want to make sure that I say Rashad's name right. It's not Rashard. I know I've probably done that at least twice in the last couple of weeks. So, Rashad, I apologize.
Yeah, but it's Fenton, not Felton.
I know.
And in case you're wondering, Troy Aikman, it is Patrick Mahomes, not Patrick Holmes.
Oof, really?
Yeah, at the very end of the broadcast, he said that, you know, obviously this team is going to go as far as Patrick Holmes' health will take them. And I just kind of lost it. Well, and people on Twitter that don't understand what I'm referring to go, if you didn't watch the broadcast, well, guess what? You're lucky because, yeah, he was brutal. And okay, so Joe Flacco is throwing the ball to a Denver receiver at some point in the third quarter, and Troy Aikman is sitting there telling us how Joe Flacco is trying to throw it to DeMarcus Robinson because he was open.
That would be great.
Yeah. And by the way, DeMarcus, please step forward again in the near future because this team is going to need you.
Truly. And I will say this, despite whatever happened on the broadcast that I didn't hear, clearly there's only one story here, and that is how does this team move on with their best player, and quite frankly, and I heard it on Sirius on XM, I heard it in the stadium tonight, the best player in the league. How does this team move on for whatever length of time that it's going to end up being without Patrick Mahomes?
Yep. And right now, this game actually becomes very pivotal because we don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen that Mahomes is going to be able to play in the Packers game. I'm not going to say I count it out just because of who he is. And it looked like he was walking pretty well, but I just can't imagine he'll be playing in that Packers game. But this game looms very large because if they lose this game and lose him, then you have a great possibility of going down to 4-4, as opposed to now the worst you're going to be is 5-3 and still probably in the division lead.
Yeah, that's a likely scenario. And I got to tell you live. Obviously I was sitting up above the end zone, quite frankly, Chris, where we usually sit when we go to games together. I was just above that. So into the end zone they were going into on that sneak play. So I couldn't see anything that happened to Pat. All I know is he was down for a while. He was crowded. He got up. And what I took away from that is once he got to the sideline, which was about the near 40, he was getting help from the trainers. When he hit the far 40, he kind of shrugged it all off and started walking on his own. And so looking at it live without knowing that it had been a dislocation, it looked to me like it wasn't going to be, you know, season ending or anything like that. Now, that's certainly a possibility. And we'll get in here in the next couple of segments about what the specifics are. But I have to say that it could have been worse than it is, even if it is a ligament tear, which could be a possibility. I feel like overall, the player that he is, I don't think this is going to be a season ender.
Yeah, and I agree. But I will say this, and we do need to go to break. Andy, please don't run QB sneaks anymore.
Just run them with Sherm.
Oh, man. I said that 2 weeks ago. I hated that play call for QBs, and I hated it for a different reason, for headshots. But, yeah, don't run them. Not worth it.
It is a strange play. But when we get back, we're going to go into what else happened on the positive side, because there is quite a bit. I'm looking forward to it.
The folks at Roman, a men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to lasting longer. Get $10 off your first order of Swipes and free 2-day shipping at GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL.
So, I don't know if you saw the game plan, Chris, but...
Reggie Ragland, Anthony Sherman, where do you want to start? Because we found out tonight that actually Anthony Sherman is their third QB.
Which I thought it was going to be Kelsey. I was surprised when I read that.
I'm actually not too surprised, mainly because you wouldn't want to take Kelsey out of running routes. Anthony Sherman isn't near as much of a... I'm not going to say he's not a threat, but I mean...
Hey, he's proven he's a threat.
Well, yes, but he's not Travis Kelsey. There's a big difference there.
I don't care. You will not badmouth Sherman right now.
I'm not badmouthing Sherman. Get off your high horse.
It's my night. All my guys showed up.
Oh, it's definitely your night. I'm not disagreeing, and you should never go to another game if that's what's going to happen to the franchise is when you go.
Okay. All right. So, I get it. Sorry, franchise. On the positive side, like you said, Reggie came up big in a number of ways. And I'm not even talking about the scoop and score, which was a great play, but I think more credit for that one really goes to Anthony Hitchens more than Reg, but he was in a good spot.
And how about Anthony Hitchens?
Right. Yeah. From being quiet, from not practicing at times this week to just making an impact. And I will tell you this. I thought they deployed them in a way that I wouldn't have. I would have put Reg in the middle with Hitchens out at will on one of the sides. But they flipped
that. It wasn't that interesting.
Yeah, right. I found that very interesting, especially because what you saw, and I'll have to go count them back up probably, but they walked Reggie up to the line a lot. And I thought that was a smart play. Crowding the line of scrimmage against a team that you know has to run the ball to be effective on offense. And they came out and they did what they had to do. Quite frankly, what we've been talking about the last few weeks, I've put it in the game plan a couple of times. This is what this team has to do when teams are going to try to run on them. And good for them. They all came together, not only just the linebackers, but I thought the entire defensive front showed up tonight and had a point to prove.
Well, the defensive line looked good for a lot of the game. You know, the running lanes just weren't there. I mean, there was a couple of plays, and I get it. And, you know, I will say this, you know, I think I mentioned this to you before the podcast. I mean, after that first drive, people were frustrated because they gave up that touchdown. And, you know, it's two penalties basically given first downs. Or Denver really didn't do anything at all during the entire game. And, you know, you can say what you want about Breland's hold. I think it looked like it was ticky-tack, and I was not looking forward to the rest of the game when I saw it, because to me, it looked like they were more looking for throwing a flag on that play. But to see what happened with Frank Clark, those face mask penalties are going to happen. He tried to get him before he got to the first down marker. He wasn't going for a face mask. It wasn't intentional. And, you know, there's a lot of Viratol out there for Frank Clark in Chiefs Nation, and I hope that really changes over the coming weeks.
I hope so as well. And I tweeted it out from the stadium when that happened, you know, that first drive, two penalties on third down. The defense had gotten itself into manageable third downs like we've been talking about, effectively putting them in third and longs, and then you give them up on penalties. That didn't bode very well at all. But I will say, just from where I was sitting before they snapped the ball in that 2-point conversion, I said, if they don't get this, it puts them behind, and I don't think they have the offense to keep up. That was obviously when Mahomes was still in the game, but clearly this is another team that felt like they had to go for it because of Mahomes and the offense. And despite him going out, those penalties didn't replicate. They ended up with, what, 6 for 46 yards on the night. Not clean, but much cleaner.
Much better than they have been.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they still had a special teams penalty, and you got to get that cleaned up. That's going to hurt you at times. I thought Mecole Hardman's punt return was great. I was really impressed. With, yeah, it was timely, but I was really impressed just by seeing what he was able to do with the ball, because he hasn't done many punt returns. He's mainly been doing kickoff returns. So interesting to see them let him back there and let him do that. And I thought Tyreek Hill wasn't going to do anything at all tonight after the first half he had. And then Matt Moore comes in. So great to see him hit that throw.
Yeah, in a number of ways. Hardman, his touchdown run, a lot of functional strength. I was very happy to see that. That was what stood out to me about his play, not to mention the punt return. On Hill, I got to tell you, this is a look at the future, because not only are those meandering crossers as well as the intermediate crossers and the deep ends, not only are those routes that you want to run against man, but they're ones in particular that Tyreek Hill can actually get loose on, because the length of it, even though it's not straight down the field, allows him to gain distance and still allows you not to have to hold for, you know, 5 seconds for the quarterback to deliver the ball. I feel like that's something that we have to see a lot more of. And pleasantly, along with the offense, I was happy to see how much Sherman got in there. I know we got a couple of key first downs. I thought he played a pivotal role in making sure that, again, like I've been talking about, not 5 and 6 yards at a go, but there was times when they got 3 and they got 4, and it moved the chains enough. And I feel like without Mahomes in, that's something they have to concentrate on.
Well, and they definitely came into this game planning to run the ball, because they ran the ball a lot more than they had, even with Mahomes at QB. So Andy Reid definitely put it in his game plan to run the ball and to try to, you know, flip the time of possession battle, which, you know, you look at what Denver was able to do. And basically this game, I'm not going to say it was a wash, because they ended up winning the time of possession battle, but it wasn't by a very large margin. I mean, it wasn't anything like what was reversed on them last week against Houston. But you're still looking at, what, Denver Flacco throwing for basically 66% for 213 yards, sacked 8 times. Phillip Lindsay, 11 rushes for 36 yards. I mean, 3.5 yards a carry after what the Chiefs have been doing. That's fantastic.
I just want to know who Wadman is and what that last sack was, because I missed that live.
He's their punter.
Oh, right. Forgot about that one. Okay. Just
yeah, it's a sack. I watched that play, and obviously you didn't see it because you weren't watching the broadcast view like I was, but the linebacker saw something. I don't know what they saw, but the middle linebacker on that specific play, and I will admit I have no idea who it was because I couldn't see the number, but he was pointing something out. He was trying to get people to shift. He was doing something. And they saw something in that and knew it was coming, because there was 2 players over there to make that tackle. If Watts didn't make it, the other guy was there to back him up.
I like that.
And there was no chance for it.
I
didn't see the route, so I don't know if the receiver was open and Wadman couldn't make the throw, but man.
I think they had an idea what was going on. I wouldn't say it was tight coverage, but when I watched it live, I was watching the receiver rather than the punter. Just to see if they had some gap, but a heads up play by the special teams unit. Kudos to Dave Tobe, who's been under some fire lately. So all around, had a couple of spark plays. When we get back, I want to talk about some of the other spark plays, because I want to know what got into Alex Okafor.
If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course, you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay you when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing if you're going to bet this football season. Bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid.
Now, I don't know how you did it. I ran into probably 6 or 8 fans from Wichita, so they traveled pretty well. So congratulations to your town. But there one of you guys lit a fire under Alex Okafor, and I don't know how you did it.
It was interesting. I will say, watching that game, you sat there and you watched Okafor was a man possessed the first couple of series. He was beating his guy off the line. And I will say this, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Okafor. He was facing their backup right tackle. So it's a matchup he should win, and he should win it on a regular basis. It is an NFL player that he was going against, though, so there is that. Very positive sign to see him do what he did. But be fair about it. Frank Clark was there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okafor may have gotten the first couple of sacks, but Frank Clark hit the guy right after Okafor did.
And so, I'll tell you this. Live, Frank looked a little bit more frenetic. He looked like he was playing with more intensity. I wouldn't say he was more explosive, but you could see that he was moving a little bit quicker. Again, a lot of adaptation in Frank's game because they're throwing a lot at him, and that continued as well. But good for him to step up. And I won't say that Bowles is a high-end left tackle. He certainly is not.
I was going to say, Garrett Bowles, the bust.
He might not be a tackle at all, but yeah. Long story short, between Frank, between two from Hitchens, which I didn't even realize had registered at the time because I was live, another by Ogba, Reg again with another sack. Who was it?
Reggie didn't get a sack. What are you talking about?
I know, right? Like, he should be on the sideline. Please just stop. Folks, did you miss Darren Lee tonight? No, you didn't. And nothing against Darren when they need to go to the nickel. And here's the thing is I felt like Spags used the linebacker group for the first time all season. He used them the way they should be used. Reggie was in early when they had to go to the nickel. He came out. That's fine. I'm not trying to say Reggie's a 3-down backer.
Yeah, but Lee didn't even play. Lee almost didn't play on defense, it seemed. It seemed like it was always you're rotating in a linebacker. It's Neiman. It's not Lee.
Yeah, but I saw Neiman a lot. I saw Hitch a lot. And nothing against Lee. I think he can play. I think he should be playing in the nickel, and he should be part of that rotation as well. But in the base, they played their best three linebackers in the base tonight. And if teams are going to throw this out because the Broncos are the Broncos, and they're still going to try to run on them, this is the trio that needs to be playing.
Well, we will see, and we have a lot to talk about when we getting there. But I'm not sold that the Packers are going to come in and try to run in Kansas City next week. Aaron Rodgers, I think, has an issue with that. But
I think his agent might get more play than Aaron Rodgers does.
We'll see. I hope you're right. I think that it's possible that the Chiefs have really found something and they've turned a corner. I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic because this was the Denver Broncos, who their offense has been horrid all year, and I do not get how you continue to have Flacco as your starting quarterback.
It's because they don't have the option. The rookie from Mizzou is on IR.
Well, I know that, but you could still go to the other guy. They still have a backup. I mean, my whole thing right now is, with as bad as Flacco is playing, the message you send to your team is we're not going to allow somebody to play that bad and continue to let them start. I get what you're saying that they don't have Drew Lock and he's on injured reserve, but you could still bench Flacco. And I think it sends a message to your team. And I think it sends the right message to your team because Flacco almost looked like he didn't care at times tonight. There was no urgency.
Yeah. I got to tell you
down three scores. No urgency. Sorry. I'm done.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I got to say, I noticed that a lot. From the Broncos players and even before the Mahomes injury, but certainly after, you would think that you knock out the best player on that team and in this league, you would think that would give you a lift, right?
Right.
Von Miller was clearly, by body language alone, from as far away as I was clearly upset and didn't see urgency from the rest of that team. One guy that I thought for the Broncos gave the Chiefs some issues was Courtland Sutton. A kid that's going to be here for a long time, so they're going to have to deal with him. I thought Breeland matched up okay. Breeland's, like I said, I was trying to hint at it the other day with Kendall Fuller. The Chiefs corners are grabby. Let's not beat around the bush. They are. Sometimes they're going to get caught. Most of the time they're not, which is what happened today. And guys like Sutton that have some power are going to give them some challenges. But I thought overall they adapted. I thought Mo Claiborne put in some very good snaps. He saved a touchdown with Lindsey coming out of the backfield.
Was that a touchdown? I couldn't see other than the regular view, but that was a touchdown.
With his speed, he would be gone. Yeah, he would have scored.
Yeah. I thought so, but I just, you can't tell from that specific view. So
I thought Juan misread one deep pass that just fell in the breadbasket for Sutton. Or he would have had a second game with an interception.
I agree. He misread that completely. I almost thought that there's another deep ball down the field to Fant that looked like to me was a good throw that I think Fant misplayed, but I thought Matthew was going to get hurt on the play. So gladly that didn't happen, but man, that was a crazy game. I did not expect the Chiefs defense to pitch that kind of game.
I didn't either. And I got to say, I came away feeling like the secondary stepped up. The linebackers stepped up. I thought Colin Saunders played a solid game. I'll have to see it, you know, on broadcast or whatever, rather than in live. But
now wait a second. You're going to try to say that you have to watch a defensive lineman more closely than from like 200 yards away.
Well, he is one of my guys, so maybe I don't. I done told you.
I mean, you're only 200 yards away when he's on the field. You know, I don't get why you need to watch it closer.
I know, right? I thought Nadi put in some good work too. I didn't see him get moved as much. I thought Nadi's been underheralded. I think he's been pretty solid. Yes, he's been beaten in the run game some this year, but I think he's been more solid than he hasn't. And I thought tonight he played better.
Well, and I think that he's also getting a raw shake because I think he's having to play more than he should. I think with the injury to Chris Jones, he has to play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The two of them have to take on doubles. They have to play strong. And I felt like they did that tonight.
Yeah. No, I was impressed from what I saw from Saunders. And I'm really intrigued to see what this defense does and how it shifts over the next couple of weeks. I'm not obviously going to say that this defense is fixed. It is the Denver Broncos offense and the Chiefs defense gets to face one of the best QBs of all time in Aaron Rodgers in 10 days. But we will get into that later.
And I'll agree with you. I will freely admit that if offenses go back to abandoning the run where they're going to throw 40 times a game, then this fix, Reggie Ragland, is not the answer. Reggie can play some, but this is the thing. This is what he's good at. This is what he's for. If you have to go back to the nickel as your base because that's what teams are doing, then that's just the way that it works. That's being smart and matching your personnel.
How funny was it that Nadi gets a false or a offsides on an extra point and it actually works out in Kansas City's favor? I thought that was kind of fitting considering you have a situation where they had two first down or their third down conversions were first downs based on penalty in the same drive. I thought that was kind of fitting.
Oh, there was a lot of interesting wrinkles, but I think at the end of the day, depending on what happens on Friday, and by the time you guys are listening to this, you may already know what happened to Pat Mahomes. Right now, all we know is a dislocation with no fracture. We've confirmed that so far. MRI to follow. The team is probably nearly landing right now by the time I'm recording this with you, and you guys are hearing this. But that said, I want to say that this was a turning point. 10 days off, you can get a lot of things done. You can get some other guys back, and I'm hoping Eric Fisher is one of them, because if he's not, there's going to need to be some wrinkles for Matt Moore, some different things. And some of them should include Anthony Sherman and Darrell Williams, and we'll talk about that more during this week.
And I wonder, and I said this pregame, I think Sammy Watkins is back, I think Eric Fisher's back, and I think Kendall Fuller's back. Those three people, I believe, are back for the Packers game. Obviously, I don't think Mahomes is going to play, but we don't know that right now. That's just my guess, is that he won't be playing. And I think Kansas City got out of this game healthy otherwise, other than Mahomes. Obviously, that's a huge injury in and of itself. And that's something that we definitely are going to need to watch. But you look at where this team would have been if they lost this game, and for them to win in the way they won, I mean, they made it clear that Denver wasn't on par with them in every phase of the game.
And they said it strongly.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the type of win that this team needed. And they got it tonight. So I was very happy to see that. I'm glad they have 10 days off. They need to heal up and get better. You know, obviously they have a very tough game coming up in 10 days and we'll see what happens with Mahomes and hopefully it's, you know, he's only out a couple of weeks, but you know, we'll find out in the next couple of days. And, one more time, Troy Aikman, it's Mahomes, not Holmes. And Joe Buck, it's Fenton, not Felton. But anyway.
Well, and we will talk about all that and more coming up on Sunday, folks. Enjoy your weekend without a game. Chris has some things. I will be back with you on Sunday. Chris may not. We'll just play it by ear. Then we'll have this week. And then I'm going on vacation. I'm going to watch the Packers-Chiefs game from somewhere on a beach with some kind of fruity drink in my hand. So a lot of things going on for us. We're going to get down to the bottom of this and give you more to think about, including what the offense is going to look like with Matt Moore. So thank you for hanging in with us tonight, with it being very, very, very late. Thank you, Chris, for staying awake. I appreciate it.
No worries. I'm up getting ready to pack and leave for tomorrow, so not going to worry about it. Thank you all for listening, and we will be back next week.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.